Rebellions are built on hope.
And welcome to another episode of Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Alberto Calderon, and thank you for joining us today on another Star Wars Saturday. As we get ready to wrap up the Bad Batch, we're 2 episodes away. So today we're talking about episode 12 and a bunch of other Star Wars stuff. So thank you to everyone out there that's joining us live today on the chat. And of course, everyone else that will jump in later during the replay on the other podcast. Thank you. Thank you for being here. How is everyone doing out there? Another Star Wars week has gone by. Got trailers for video games, cover reveals we'll talk about, new episodes of The Bad Batch. We're getting closer, inching closer to The Acolyte, which is just 2 months away, basically. It's going to be a lot of fun when that drops in June. But here we are today, riding solo. That's fine. Otto will come back at some point soon. What have you guys been up to? It's been a week. I've been slowly listening to Raid Squadron. I really enjoy it. I had some issues with some old Legends audiobooks, but I'm really enjoying Raid Squadron, following Wedge and all that group. There's some great characters, a lot of alien X-Wing pilots, commandos, and all that. So, and this is a book that came years ago, so hopefully you guys have read it. If not, I'll have my review at some point in the coming weeks. We'll worry about that when the time comes. Right now, for everyone joining us, thank you for being here. If you're watching us live, make sure you hit that thumbs up button. If you're watching later, also hit that like button and make sure you subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any new episodes when they drop. Comment down below any questions or comments you might have. And if you're listening to the audio podcast, thank you. And make sure you're leaving us a rating, 5 stars, review, and all that fun stuff. Wherever you listen to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I don't know, all of them, we're everywhere. And of course, at Radio Rebel Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. All right, who's out there today? Let's say hi to our friends in the chat. What am I doing? Sorry, let me put this back up. Radio Rebellions, you don't forget who we are. Our friend Mo is here. How, Mo? Mo, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us today. And of course, Alan. Hello, Alan. Thanks for being here. And Brennan. Hello, Paige Turners. They were not. Thanks for being here. Oh, you brought But your Phantom Menace tickets, it's coming up, right? May 4th, less than like 3 weeks away. Phantom Menace back on theaters and some places showing all 9. I don't think the theaters close to me are showing all 9. I know the Phantom Menace will be there. I don't know. I'll see if I can get my way to the movie theaters, but I might not be able to do it. But we'll see. We'll see. If you guys are going, after you go, let us know your experience. We want to know how it felt seeing Star Wars back in the movie theaters. Is this your first time watching the Phantom Menace on the big screen? Do you remember first time that you watched it? How did it all kind of relate? Not relate, how did you felt watching it now, so many years? 25 years, man, I can't believe, so long ago. All right, so that's it. That's my intro for today. So if you guys are ready, I'm not ready. Let's talk Star Wars and Star Wars news.
Star Wars news.
All right, Star Wars news. And it's been the norm this last few weeks is High Republic news. We got the cover reveal for 2 books that are coming up real soon. Tears of the Nameless by George Mann and a great art by Corey Brickley. And Beware the Nameless by Zoraida Cordova. And art by Peter Antonsson. Dude, I gotta show this again. These are both of them. They're my boys there on Tears of the Nameless, Amadeo and Reith. I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid for my 2 young Jedis. I've loved Amadeo since I met him in Tales of Light and Life. Aaliyah Khan did a great job introducing that character, at least for me. He might have shown up in some other small stories. We got a little taste of him in Defy the Storm, same with Reed Silas. They show up for a little bit, Reed a little bit more than Amadeo. But yeah, both are going to be headlining Tears of the Nameless. We saw a couple of the nameless creatures in that cover. So I'm afraid. I'm afraid for my young Jedi and what's going to happen. We know that Reed is more of a bookish Jedi. He wants to learn a lot. So being out in the field, we're going to see what happens. But again, he might find a way to combat the Nameless. We'll see how that goes. And then for Beware the Nameless by Soraida Cordova, a lot of young characters are there. I didn't, Churro the Hot, everyone's loving this Hot. Yeah, the name is great. Churro the Hot is a great name. I don't care. I love Java. I love seeing Hots. I'm not fawning over Churros, everyone else is, but okay, you'll have them. Churro the Hot. And I guess Axel Graylor's granddaughter, we don't know, probably. It's like another Graylor is going to be there. I miss Axel. That was a great character. You love to hate him. Love to hate Axel Graylor. So it's great to have him there. You're right, Alan. High Republic hype just leading up to the Acolyte. We got some more Acolyte images that dropped these past few days from that Empire article. Actually, it's going out on sale today, so maybe we'll get some more stuff in the coming days. I don't have them for the show today, just more images. So if you're online, you'll see them and you'll love them. I love that we're getting Jedi with gloves, like Yord has some gloves, and then Master Sol had another glove with a gauntlet. I don't know, this High Republic, just the way everyone looks and the costume designs and everything just getting me extremely hyped. But getting back to those two covers, again, the art. Corey Brickley's done the cover for a lot of the Phase 3 books. It's just knocking it out of the park every time, just getting better and better and better. Then Peter Antonsson, I know he's done a lot of the middle grade books and the art inside, which I always love. So again, great job by both of those artists. Soraida Cordova is always great, and George Mann has just delivered banger after banger so far with High Republic. So both of those books seem to be, are poised to be very good additions to High Republic. I think Beware the Nameless comes a couple of weeks before Tears of the Nameless. We'll see. I know I'm getting Tears of the Nameless. I'm reading that one for sure. I'll see. I'll watch out Beware the Nameless. I'm not sure. A lot of these, when you get young adults or in our main novels, adult novels with the middle grade coming out around the same time, they usually complement each other. So it might be good to get both. So we'll see. Again, High Republic, they just couldn't give you, hopefully we don't get copyrighted for this, but they just couldn't give you, hey, here's two great covers. Let's just throw in a new crawl for Phase 3 of the High Republic. Star Wars. The High Republic. We're marching on the road to the now around the mother of rule Iron Fist. The Jedi Master has escaped from this occupied space, and along with fellow Jedi Elso Pan, leads the Jedi and Republic in a desperate fight against the now under nameless creatures. But a new danger now threatens the galaxy. A mysterious light has begun to spread randomly across worlds, slowly infecting areas. All right, so there we go. A new crawl for Phase 3 of the High Republic. Again, Star Wars, just the dedication and the passion they put behind this literature publishing initiative has just been great to see all these years. How everyone gets so hyped for them, from the people writing the books, the people behind the scenes, the editors, everyone just super hyped for this. And this Phase 3 crawl just keeps, again, pushing that narrative forward, that this is, yeah, and it's just another book series. No, this is very important to the history of Star Wars. And if you've read Defy the Storm, again, it's been out for a month, so there are spoilers here for Defy the Storms. If you haven't read it, sorry, cover your ears for a couple of minutes, but that last sentence talking about the Blight, that's what happens at the end of Defy the Storm, where Cares and Teka loses his hand, touching this Blight that's affecting the people. I forgot the moon, where they're at. He loses his hand like David Tennant in The Doctor loses his hand. And then Jordana Sparkman just puts the hand in this container and takes it to Coruscant for the Jedi to study. I think it actually goes to read Silas. So we'll see how that connects to Beware the Nameless and Tears of the Nameless. But I just love this. Again, I just love that they're introduced something in this middle grade, sorry, in this young adult novel, and then that's going to be a big part of what's going to kind of finish this phase three. I'm very scared. So the Jedi still don't know how to deal with Marky and Roa denial, right? They're behind the occlusion, so they have no idea, really. They have some idea, but not something as concrete to go back and forth through the occlusion zone. So got to deal with that. They got to deal with the Nameless, which right now has, there's no way to combat the Nameless if you're a Jedi. And now you're adding the Blight on top of this other thing. So you have this three-layer cake of hideousness waiting for them on the other side of the occlusion zone. I don't know how the Jedi are going to deal with all these three, whatever you want to call them, issues across beyond the Galactic Republic. It's gonna be interesting. I don't know how they're gonna deal with it. Baron Bulon and all his weird nameless experiments that he's doing, I'm pretty sure has something to do with the Blight. I don't know, it's a lot. And I know, how is all this, we never hear anything about this when we get to the original trilogy and all that, and the prequel trilogy, I should say. And of course, whatever, when 25 years ago, when George Lucas made the prequels, he didn't know anything about the High Republic and what they were doing now. So it makes sense it's not mentioned. We got to be careful, all these big events are happening to then not get mentioned later on. But again, we have the Acolyte in between. I'm starting to think that when phase three of the High Republic ends, that's not going to be the end to the High Republic stories. I think it's going to push some other kind of spin-offs, still around the same area, still around characters that we have been introduced to. Maybe it's not called the High Republic, kind of this initiative that we're doing with these three phases. But there's too much out there right now to kind of just finish up in the next year, more or less, because that's how long we have for 2025 when the last novel comes out, I believe. So I wouldn't be surprised if this kind of expands a little bit more, and then maybe that connects with the Acolyte years down the road. But I mean, great cover reveals for those next two books are coming out, and great phase three crawl. Again, Elsor Man and Ava Chris teaming up to find a way across the occlusion zone and bring the fight to the Nile. And I didn't say during my spoiler-free review of Defy the Storm, but at that point, at the end of Defy the Storm, sorry, a little bit of spoilers for it, like everyone that was involved in that book has a different view on how to engage the Nile and what's going on in the occlusion. So it's not taking the fight to the Nile, it's helping the people. So like Imri is gonna help refugees. Jordan and Kay are gonna move refugees from the occlusion zone to the Republic. Even Vernessa, so I gotta find a way to help people. That's what Imri is doing. That's how I was able to connect to people, connect back to kind of the Force and people in general, is helping each other. We saw that with Ava Chris, how she helped deliver those bags of grain. So it's like we need to help the people, not just bring the fight to the Now. So hopefully that's something that also man can get behind. All right, let me see what you guys are saying in the chat about this. It's a couple of reviews. Churro, I knew you were going to love it, Alan. Churro is a perfect name for a young hot. It is manifesting a crawl for the Acolyte. I hope. I don't know. I mean, Ahsoka got a crawl, so maybe the Acolyte will get one. Our friend Buck is here. Thanks for joining us, Buck. As always, great having you here. And, oh, he's all caught up. Finished up Monday and picked up Living Force on Tuesday. Only about 50 pages in, but I'm into that first chapter of The Living Force. It's so great. It's what I needed when I got that book. It's a great book. I'm hoping that Otte can finish it up at some point. I think he's still reading Defy the Storm. But hopefully, and again, I'm sending emails. Hopefully, if we're lucky, at some point in the next couple of weeks, a month, we can get John Jackson Miller on the show. Hopefully, and then we can talk full spoilers for The Living Force. So again, good vibes. Let's see if we can get another Star Wars author on the show. But yeah, Living Force, pick that up. And Defy the Storm, again, I had some issues with the whole story in general, but it's a good book. It just pushes you to the next story, which again, connects a lot to this crawl that we just got. But, and then again, Avon Seros is like, I'm not gonna kill now, I'm not going to kill my mother. I need to find a way to fix things. So everyone's just trying to find ways to fix it. And that's, I want Oti to be able to read it. So I want to talk about it. Yeah, I know you love Mace. You love Mace, but I like the way Mace is written in it so far. It's not a jerk, and it's kind of the other Jedi that suck. Oh, well. And yes, John Jackson Miller is writing a Batman novel right after Batman 89, before Batman Returns. I know he's busy. He's a busy person at the moment. He's everywhere right now. But all right, so let's go to our second news item, and it's Star Wars Outlaws. We got the trailer reveal, or the story trailer reveal, I should say. We meet Sliro, leader of the new crime syndicate, Serek Besh, and find out that our main character, Kai Vess, has been hired by Jalen to steal from Sliro and Serek Besh. Kay is an up-and-coming scoundrel. It's not really taken too seriously by the other criminal syndicates. And at the same time, Sliro hires bounty hunter Vale to track and kill Kai Vess. We get Jabba the Hutt, Solus in Carbonite. We got confirmation that Kira is going to be back with Crimson Dawn. And this comes out August 30th. I said last week when we talked a little bit about this, this might be the game that gets me back into playing video games. Excuse me, I got my son an Xbox Series S a couple years ago, so I might be able to finally get a Star Wars game. But man, those prices, $70, which unfortunately is the norm just for the regular game. And then if you want to pre-order some special edition, it's like $110 and then $130. We should forget about that. I'll wait for it to be on sale. And again, I don't play a lot right now, so I know there's a lot of controversy. You need to have an online connection to be able to download the game or be able to play it. Even if you buy a physical disc, you still need to connect online. You need downloadable DLC content, which again, that's it for content, you know what I mean. And all this other stuff that you shouldn't need for a single player game where, hey, this is the story and just go. So understand a little bit what that controversy is, but not a lot. But again, just give me the game. I just want to play it, go visit everywhere on Tatooine, and then just go fight some criminal organizations, shoot Jabba, ask him if you know where Churro is, and then hopefully don't fall down the Sarlacc pit. And meet Kira. I want to hang out with Kira. So we'll see. This comes out not too far, a couple of months, August 30th. I would say there's a little graphics right now, and video games are so out there, like the from what I grew up with, that they're so realistic that they're reaching that uncanny valley thing that the human characters look so great, but at the same time, you get that uncanny valley feeling of it's not there. So I don't know if it kind of turn it down a little bit to be more video game-like or just go full on with that realism. So I understand, like looks a little weird sometimes, great, but you understand that's not a real person. But the story looks great. I like the story, so I might give it a shot once it's not as expensive. All right, yeah, return of Lady Kira. But she's not been gone for long. She's been in comics for a while and has a book. And I love that book, Crimson Rain, right? That's about Crimson Climb, I should say. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed Crimson Climb. So, E.K. Johnston, go check that book. Great book. All right, so are you guys going to play this game? Are you interested in Star Wars Outlaws? Is that controversy about having to connect online just for a single player game, is that something that turns you out a little bit, or you don't care? Let's just play it. I just want to play it, man. All right, so that does it for Star Wars news of this week. Now we go to that other section that we call Star Wars on TV. Star Wars on TV. Right, so Star Wars on TV, and as always, these past couple of weeks, it's all about the Bad Batch and episode 12, Juggernaut. We're almost there. We got three more episodes after this week. Three more episodes, and I don't know, it's looking rough for our Batchers out there, but last week, Omega gave herself up just to save Pabu. I'm pretty sure she didn't want to see Pabu go down the same path that Kamino went, and Tipoca City that got destroyed. It got mentioned here when Crosshair is talking about finding Rampart and all that stuff. We'll get to that in a minute, but pretty sure Omega didn't want to see her other home get destroyed we've been mentioning this since we saw the trailer. Pabu's gonna get attacked. It's gonna get decimated. Something's gonna happen on Pabu, and we got it. Not to the extent that I thought, and I'm glad it didn't go that way, but we knew that Pabu at some point was gonna be discovered by the Empire. But yeah, we get Shadow Clone CX-12 delivers Omega to Hemlock, back on Tantis. He goes straight, takes her straight to Emery Carr, which I'm not a fan of Emery Carr. I know a lot of people are waiting for her redemption. They feel sorry for her. I don't feel sorry for Emery Carr. Omega doesn't know what to believe. She said, oh, at least you're safe. And Omega's like, am I really safe? Nala says not here, all that stuff. And I think I'm batting like maybe 1 for 10 with my Bad Batch predictions. Last week, I'm like, Hunters on that ship, maybe even Batches on that ship with CX-12, that they're going to make it to Tantis. This is how Crosser is going to get the tracker, know where they are. No, they're all on Tantis. So again, wrong with that one, wrong with when Tech was coming back in, I don't know, 3 episodes ago. I don't know. I'm getting, yeah, 3 episodes for Tech to come back. And I think I was like 50-50 last week. I'm down like to 30% right now of Tech coming back. Oh, I don't want to say no, but he might not be coming back. All right, but talking about Emery, even though I don't feel sorry for her, for everything that she's done, and now she's playing the victim, they keep, hey, Roberto, how you doing? Hi, Roberto, thanks for joining us. You know what? I was looking at your gorgeous art for Darth Maul that I got a couple of years ago. It's just awesome. Thinking about a new tattoo. I don't know. I might pick something from there. I'm not sure. But thanks for being here, Roberto. But Emery, they keep pressing on how she should be able to do something, that she can do something to help Omega. She keeps going back to, no, I can't. What can I do? I'm just one person. It happened last week with Nala Se. It happened this week when Omega kind of, hey, you can do something. She's like, no, I really can't. I'm just glad that you're here and that you're safe. So I think they're slowly pushing this narrative that she's really doesn't have any power to fight back against Hemlock and what's happening on Tantis. But eventually, before the end, she's going to rebel, or she's going to do something to actually say, yeah, I do have some power in this situation. I think we're going to get that. We'll get some of her redemption back. We still don't know her full story. I really don't know anything about her, just that she says she was a clone, just like Omega. Last week when she sees the kids in the vault, she says something, oh, they're just like me. And I was saying that she was taken at a young age. So that might come back to play at some point. But again, right now, Emery Carr, all right, you're around. I don't care too much. All right, so the Empire have left Pabu, or not left. Most of them have gone. The troopers are gone. They're still jamming the comms. Fee makes it in through some underground cave system. And then that's when Crosser says, hey, I think I got a lead. I think I know how we can get back to at least find out the coordinates to Mount Tantis. You're not going to like it. We got to go visit our old part, our old pal, Admiral Rampart. He's prisoner in, where the hell was he? Erebus, a labor camp on Erebus. Not Erebor. This isn't the Hobbit. Erebus. And then Fee's like, I got you guys. Come on. Old Brown Eyes said, you're friends with Old Brown Eyes, Crosser. I'll take you guys some. There's a great maneuver, a stealth maneuver to just fly next to the ships. Drops our friends down on Erebus. And I really miss seeing the Bad Batch as a group going on a mission. And I know this isn't the whole group. Tech is in here. Echo, who had joined the group, is in here. Omega is in here. But seeing these three of the original main Bad Batch, not counting Tech, seeing them go on an actual mission together was very fun to see. Because we saw them together in that episode 4, I think it was, when Crosser makes it back and they're on that snow planet trying to get into that tablet that Omega stole. But they're just trying to turn on the machines and survive the creature. It wasn't really a mission. This is a full-on mission, and I love it. Like, Hunter's looking at the terrain, figuring out how to get there. Crosser's taking people out with his sniper. Wrecker's just wrecking shop. So I love seeing them work together. We got a lot of Solo love and Mandalorian season two love when they're also in that, those tanks, those turbo tanks, reminded me of the conveyors, of course, on Solo, and that episode on season two that everyone loves, one of the best Mandalorian episodes so far. So a lot of love over there. I love the two tanks going at it. A lot of great action. We don't need to keep mentioning the music and the animation. It's over anything that's out there right now. So great animation. So just seeing that those two tanks going at it, they don't care. They're just jumping over the broken one to go over the other, just ramming all the blockades, which weren't the greatest, I guess, because those tanks really went through them. Again, Crosshair and Wrecker. Oh, it's magnetically sealed. Do you remember? Let's do Plan 55. And Wrecker's like, yeah, Plan 55. And they go with the shot that bounces all over the place. I think they did that in the Clone Wars in Season 7 arc. Crosshair did that. So great to get that back. Maybe slowly Crosshair is getting better. His arm is getting better. We see him when they get to Ramparts and Ramparts going to shoot him. He gets that sniper and blaster rifle out of Ramparts' hand. So maybe he's getting better. We'll see if that comes back. So talking about Rampart, last time we saw him, season two, he got arrested for destroying Tipoca City. He sucks. He sucks. He's all bearded up, got the long hair. Maybe I'm doing my old Rampart. I have a longer beard to do Rampart. I have the hair right now. I don't get Rampart. Hopefully they'll kill you. I love Wrecker. Are you here to kill me? Tempting, but no. And then he thinks, oh, you're not going to kill me. Not yet. Like, yeah. Wreck, I know Crosshair's now in another. He's better. He's not that assassin that he was before. So maybe he doesn't kill him. I wouldn't be mad if Cross at some point just shoots him dead. So anyway, they get Rampart. They need to find a way to kind of throw the Empire off. And they let, it's kind of funny, they let all the other prisoners go. But they didn't take off their binders. They're all just running with their arms still bind. It's like, you're going to get caught. Just cut them off. Anyway. And of course, he gets, you see it in the thumbnail for this video. He just Rampart like a ragdoll, just thrown off the ship, almost falls back down the ramp. So I love seeing that. I love that still they keep those comedic moments for the show, even though it's a very serious show so far. And then interviews with the creator, they say, yeah, they wanted to do this. We cannot burn this kind of gag. Not just when he gets thrown from the juggernaut tank to the transport, but when they're just hauling him up the little tube up to the roof of the tank, he's just kind of thrown out. So funny visual, great episode. And then he's kind of, yeah, I don't really know the coordinates because the Empire keeps that secret. But I have a way to find them. He says, I know a way around that. So I don't know if they're going to go find someone else. What's going to happen? Rampart's like, hey, there's no need to throw me down again to the prison planet. We're all kind of, we have the same goal here. So I don't know if Rampart now hates the Empire. I don't think we're in a point that he can do the Kallus thing and join the rebellion. Is not at that point. Kallus was, again, 4 seasons to get to it. Rampart, we don't want Rampart anywhere around. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. Our friend Dale is here. Thanks for joining us, Dale. Be sure to check out everything else we've talked about so far. But Dale, thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure. Always fun. All right. So then we spent a little bit of time back on Mount Tantis. Rampart's like, okay, you tested her blood. She came back positive for a favorable M-count replication. And we get again the explanation that not everyone can replicate midichlorians. They tried a bunch of other stuff, and the only thing that worked was mixing it with Omega's blood, at least so far. Let's go take you meet some of the other subjects. And then she's taken to the vault. And when she said, oh, who are these? Oh, these are the other pieces to the puzzle. And this is your home from now on. Group, door closes. You're now a prisoner inside the vault. Nala Se won't help you escape this time. And you're trapped. So it ended on a very bleak note, I should say, for Omega. And we have, again, 3 episodes. Next episode is called Into the Breach, which might mean that they find our tentacles and they're going to go ahead and attack, or something else. Probably something else, because I've been, like I said before, very bad, you know, my Bad Batch prediction so far, but we'll see. What do you guys think might happen next week? Let's talk about Rampart. Do you think Rampart is going to be a character that's going to help them out, apart from helping them find the coordinates to Tantive? Do you think Rampart might have something else to play? What's its deal? What does he want with the Empire? Is he going to betray them? Or is he just going to turn that Bad Batch in just to try to get favors again with the Empire? We get Crosshair saying that Rampart wasn't really trustworthy, so he might just be trying to collect, like turning the Bad Batch to get back in the good, in the Emperor's good graces. We'll see if that happens. I'm still holding up hope that Tech is alive somehow. His mind has been scrambled eggs. But again, as more weeks pass, it's getting difficult. I don't want this to be last episode he shows up and then everything's fine. I wanted to have a more of a meaningful impact and they last a couple of episodes, so he can have a more impact on the story, not just, hey, you're alive and now you're back on the team. So I kind of said, if it doesn't happen this week, it's not going to happen. I'll give it one more, but if by next week we don't get more of an inclination that Tech might be around, I don't think it's happening. But we still need to figure out who the heck is CX2. Again, why did they keep this asset alive? There's more. They're not ready. So maybe that's where Tech comes around. We've talked about maybe they've cloned Crosshair or used Crosshair's blood for some of these special clones. We should hopefully start getting the answer at some point soon, because we are running out of episodes. But like we keep saying, the Bad Batch so far has just been knocking it out of the park episode by episode, week by week, I should say. So yeah, Mo, I'm there with you, Mo. Say, I don't trust Rampart at all, but maybe he'll have a Hux moment of helping them out to get back at the Empire. Might be. I don't care if Hemlock wins. I just need someone else to lose. It might be. I mean, Rampart, Rampart's a bitch. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Bucks agrees with that point. It might be something as simple as that. But next week, Into the Breach, and then two more weeks, and this is all over. So first week in May, I believe, the Bad Batch ends, and then we get The Force Awakens comes out. And also The Empire comes out May 4th. Then a month after that is The Acolyte. So a lot of Star Wars still around this year. And of course, hopefully, Skeleton Crew by the end of the year. And all the High Republic books in between. And all the other books are not just High Republic coming out soon. A Mace novel is coming out at some point this year, Buck. All right, so that does it, I think, for Star Wars talk. Again, it was a good episode. Not a lot that we need to dive into and break down. A lot of action in this episode. And the Omega thing, we knew already that her blood was positive for the MCAM transfer. We knew already what the Project Necromancer was. We knew about the vault. So it was, in that sense, was a lot of exposition and trying to bring Omega up to date on what's happening on Tantis. And then all this great action with Rampart. My favorite, like I mentioned, was just seeing the Bad Batch again on a mission, hitting it out in all stride, just going for something and delivering great results in their unique Bad Batch manner. So I did love that part. So that does it for Star Wars talk. And now let's go to that part of the show where we talk about something else that's not Star Wars in A World Between Fandoms. All right, and I usually don't do this. I just leave it like that. But for A World Between Fandoms today, we're going to be talking about Doctor Who Season 2 and some great news. Varada Sethu will join Millie Gibson's Ruby Sunday as a new companion to Shruti Gawa Doctor in Season 2 of Doctor Who in 2025. Plus, we got confirmation that Ruby Sunday, Millie Gibson, are still going to be companions in Season 2. There was a lot of talk about this about a month ago, that Ruby Sunday was going to be a companion only for one season. What are they doing? They're already changing the companion, even though it has happened before. But no, two companions for the Doctor in season two. Season one is not even out yet. It comes out in May. And we already got news that season two is already in the works. And we had heard that Varada Sethu was going to be in Doctor Who. I think we already knew that she was might be a companion. I can't remember. But those pictures, man, talk about a lot of hotness in one image. It's like, what are you doing to me? I'm not a fan of multiple companions. I'm turning the corner on that thought. It looks great. The three of them look great together. I'm extremely excited for the season of Doctor Who, kind of this rebrand. I don't want to call it a rebrand. It's still Doctor Who. It still feels the same, but kind of it's not new Who anymore. New Who was 10, like 15 years ago. This is new Who. We're just starting fresh. Doctor Who season one, Ushuti Gao was the 15th Doctor. Wow. And then, of course, Ruby Sunday is going to be the companion for this first season. Then season two, we had Varada also there with two as the second companion. So excited. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we got the trailer. We got the name for all the 8 episodes. And now we get season two announcements and news. It's, dude, I know, time and space, timely wobbly with Doctor Who. Wobbly, why me? It doesn't matter getting the TARDIS. We're already talking about season two, even though season one is not out yet, but I'm extremely excited for that. Andorification of Doctor Who, of course, with Varada. New Who has us so hype, like Buck is saying, of course, Mo with the previous comments. I love Doctor Who, is one of my favorite things. Extremely excited for this. I can't wait just for season one to come out next month. But yeah, this news and those images, oof, talk about. All right, it's going to be great. Can't wait for it. And then our second topic for, I'll go back to Joss, World Between Fandoms, Fallout. I'm watching the Fallout series on Amazon. I remember playing the Fallout 76. I rented it at Blockbuster, played once or twice, like 1 or 2 days. I don't even remember if I got out of the vault. So I know some of the imagery, but I don't know the story. So I've watched 2 episodes, really enjoying it so far. I love the ending to episode 2. I won't spoil anything. We got our main characters in one scene. I just love that. Oh, here's everyone with all their, what they're trying to do. So I love that everyone's there and we got that conflict starting to brew. So really enjoying it. This dropped all at once. I don't understand why streaming services either commit to one. Because Amazon usually does that week to week. We've seen it with Rings of Power, Wheel of Time, and all the other shows, or most of them. I think actually the Mr. and Mrs. Smith show talk about the Star Wars vacation of Amazon Prime. I think also drop all at once. So I don't know why some shows they decide to drop all at once, why some they do that week to week. I'm sure their marketing team knows something. I want to say that maybe it's that Rings of Power is right around the corner and they want to get Fallout out of the way and then Rings of Power. But we haven't heard anything about Rings of Power season 2. I think this comes out, it'll be closer to September. But we need to start hearing about it now just to start getting that marketing machine going, because there's a lot of great TV coming out during the summer. So if they don't start pushing that soon, maybe just leave it for 2025. Hopefully not. But so far, enjoying Fallout. I'll watch another episode today. I don't know, you guys will be happy and Audie will be happy. I started watching finally X-Men 97. I've been a little bit, there's so much TV out there, I don't have the time. I watched the first episode today. I enjoyed it. Pretty good. I've heard from everyone online that episode 4 is breaking hearts. So I'll get to that soon. It's taking me a little bit to get past the late 90s aesthetic of the animation. But once you get past that, the story, it's fun. I laughed a couple of times. It felt like a show from the late 90s that you would get back then. So as that, it's very loyal, I guess, to that, to what was happening back then. All right, Alan, you're adding, now that everyone has ads on Prime, they probably want more ads with the whole season being binge. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, might be that. I don't know. And everyone's getting ads now. Everything has ads. I think I got the pop-up that said the ads were coming. I haven't gotten one yet. Maybe I'm paying more and I don't even know it. Most likely they're stealing my money. All right, so that does it for today's show. Oh, Break the Rebellion. Again, a short show today, only with the Bad Batch having that one episode, a little bit of Star Wars news out there, not a lot, but a little bit. Oh, sorry, needed to take a drink. All right, we'll be back next week. I won't say not a lot happening. There's a lot happening, but next week, I think the Bad Batch is getting to a place now that it's almost at the end. We got 3 episodes to wrap up the show. What's going to happen to our group? Are we going to lose someone else? I really hope not. If I have one thing that I get right this season is let them have a happy go out and just be together. Happy ending. Like Din Djarin sitting back at his home. Let the Bad Batch not suffer anymore. They deserve a break. So we'll see what happens. Thanks to everyone for being in the show. Smoke, thanks for joining us. But we're done. But you can go back and check it. But thanks for being here. Bug, Mando, Grogu confirmed for 2026. It's sad. It is far, far away. But it's 2 years. We can make it, Bug. 2025, we got Andor season 2. I don't know what else. We'll get maybe that new animated show, maybe Ventress. I don't know. We'll see. But it is far away. But thank you, Bug. May the Force be with you. Bug, Smoke, Alan, Mo, Dale, Brennan, Roberto, everyone that joined us today. Thanks for being here. We'll see you guys next week. Stay safe. Be safe. And if you're a friend of Brown Eyes, you're a friend of mine. See ya.